Welcome to Bunny's First 11 podcast. I'm here with Graham Onions and we're looking back on some of the highlights of Graham's career. And there's been a few emotional moments along the way, Graham, but I would guess that your ninth test cap would probably rank as one of the most emotional.
Yeah, and I suppose I look back now and I think, you know, it potentially might be me last. In fact, it probably will be me last, but it was obviously overcoming some pretty tough injuries, and playing this test match was a big one for me. I'd want to, once again, you know, when you have injuries, you always want to play one more game, and I think this one for me was how I just want to play one more game for England, and I did it against a West Indies side that, well, you know, they were doing okay, and it was, for me, it was a bit of a shoot off between obviously me and Stephen Finn that was potentially going to play, and I suppose we both played in the end.
Yeah, I remember we've talked on a previous podcast about your comeback game against Yorkshire in 2011. And I remember from that point onwards, you were always saying, "I just want to play one more test." That was a big goal for you.
So. Yeah, and it's just quite weird saying that, because now that I'm actually, I wanted to play one more test, and it was probably my last test. So it was, I suppose, from that side of things, like, you know, I'm quite happy with that. You know, of course I want to play more, and I'd love to be involved with, you know, play one more game, and I always keep telling myself, and I suppose that's the reason why you sometimes grit your teeth in training and you bowl overs like you do, to always maybe give yourself that chance. But, you know, maybe that chance has gone now, and with me playing that one more test that I wanted to play, you know, obviously it was amazing. I suppose I'm quite happy with that.
Yeah, and it's funny as well, over the course of these podcasts there's been quite a few themes come up, and obviously injury's been one, but another one has been the favourite grounds, the favourite opponents you have. You seem to always do well at Lords, you seem to always do well against Warwickshire, and lo and behold, your comeback was at Edgbaston.
Yeah, and obviously against the West Indies, where I made my debut as well. So it was obviously, it is actually, when you look back, it is quite strange how that happens. Maybe things just are meant to be and fall into place a little bit, but Edgbaston is a ground which I've always done well. I've always obviously loved playing there, and obviously playing against the West Indies is, you know, obviously played three or four tests against them now, so it's great. I enjoy playing against them, and this game for me personally obviously took a few wickets, and I suppose put my name back in the hat to play for England again.
Yeah, because you'd had a great summer in 2011. You'd taken 53 wickets in your first summer back after your back injury. This year went on to take 72 in the Championship, but it was an incredibly hard England side to get into at that time, because you've got Jimmy Anderson starting to establish himself, Stuart Broad as well, had Tim Bresnan in that side. So I guess for the first couple of tests, you'd been quite a frustrated onlooker.
Yeah, it was, and I suppose I do look back a little bit and I think to myself, well, could I have done any more to push me claim to get into that England side? And I probably couldn't really. In fact, the fact that I did everything that the selectors kind of asked me, and At that time, we had obviously Broad and Anderson with their newborn bowlers, and you had Bresnan and Finn that were, you know, they were fighting out for that third place in that seam attack. And this game in particular, I remember I got brought into the squad, and they said to Jimmy that he wasn't going to play, he was going to get rested. So straight away, there was me and Finn, of course, thinking, well, you know, we've got a great opportunity to get that new ball in our hand, really. We didn't know that, and of course it rained for 2 days as well, and I still didn't know what the squad was going to be or what the team was going to be. And then actually the way it worked is both James Anderson and Stuart Broad didn't play, and me and Finn got the nod. So it was a bit of a ball off, a bit of an opportunity to just remind obviously Andrew Strauss, the captain, and the selectors that I was probably, well, potentially better than them, and I wanted to push my claim, really. And obviously I was delighted with the way I performed, and I suppose a 2 day test, really, because we only rained for 2 days, played the third and fourth day, and then it rained the last day, so it was a real interesting one.
Yeah, and just to put it into context for people, this was the last match of a three-match series, which England had already won 2-0. But it was pretty clear from the way the West Indies performed and behaved that they weren't just, you know, mentally on the plane. They were clearly quite keen to get a win on this tour.
Yeah, they were. There was a lot of talk in that series about who should play for the West Indies, who shouldn't play, and I think they obviously brought in a few younger lads, but they still had a decent side. And you know, going back to my debut in 2009, is once you took a few wickets, even with their senior players that they had, and Chandrapal and Sawan, is that, you know, they showed no real fight. And I think this West Indies side was slightly different. Obviously Darren Sammy and obviously was the captain, and he was he had quite a good, I suppose, a good team spirit in their team. And that series, Samuels, you know, was on the top of his game. He was performing well, and obviously that game had a few run-ins with him, and it was good fun. And he made it quite public in a press conference that he doesn't like onions anyway. So, it's fun in games. And as I remember at the time, we, you know, he played and missed a few times and then over, and could have had him out a few times, and obviously not like me, had a few words. And of course Marlon Samuels is well renowned around the world for, if you say anything to him, he kind of bites back straight away, so you know you get under his skin. And I actually, shows how much I know, I thought he got 100, but he got his 50, and he took his hat off and saluted me and waved his bat at me and bowed his head and stuff like that. And I was like, well, he didn't get that many runs, but yeah, no, obviously a good performer at that time for the West Indies.
Yeah, and in terms of the game, when Stephen Finn got Ravi Rampal, the number 10 out, West Indies were 283 for 9, and I guess it was looking like it was following the pattern of the series. But then you had one of the most frustrating partnerships you probably ever had to deal with. Tino Best, who'd been a bit of a joke figure on one of his earlier tours, scored 95, highest score at that time by a number 11 batsman in Test cricket, and he was able to see Dinesh Ranadive to a century as well.
Yeah, and that's I mean, there was a couple of things in that, really. Obviously, as young seamers, you take away obviously your Broad and your Anderson, and you're left with slightly inexperienced of Finn and Onions. Of course, Andrew Strauss would have threw the ball to the senior guy, and I'm sure they would have got them out, but they had a massive partnership. Tino Best at the time was a world record, 95 runs, and actually played really well. He got out of the way of the short ball, and I mean, there was a few shots in a spell against Tim Bresnan where he would pitch the ball up, and he would hit the ball over the top, like for six, and a beautiful swing of the bat, beautiful shot. I was thinking, this guy's not a number 11. But of course, you get 9, 10, 11, and you just want to get off the field. As a bowler, you just want to get off that field. And it, you know, just didn't work that way. Of course, I actually got Tino Best out towards the end with a slow ball, and he should have got 100. You know, even if he just batted properly and knocked it around, he would have got 100. But he slogged a slow ball straight up in the air, and of course, he probably regrets that now. But the other thing with that is obviously Dinesh Ranadive was getting a lot of stick. He hadn't scored a run throughout the whole series, really, and maybe he's even, you know, 12 months. And a talented cricketer, a good gloveman, but just would maybe get himself in, couldn't get runs. And of course, Viv Richards, obviously legend of the game, and maybe he didn't realise how easy the game was for him, but you know, it's tough for others. And of course, he got his 100, and I couldn't believe it, actually. I mean, and nobody could believe it. Dinesh Ranadive pulled out this handkerchief which had Viv talk na, which obviously means stop talking, Viv, you know, we're not all as good as you. But I was thinking, how long has he actually had that? Bearing in mind he had a struggle for 12 months, how long has he actually had that in his back pocket for? But it was a great comeback game for me, because it had a little bit of humour in it, had a little bit of fun in it. But I was proud that I took a few wickets, and I played that one more game which I was so desperate for.
Yeah, I mean, you took 4 for 88, which as you said, you just wanted to play one more game, but as soon as you're in one more game, you get greedy, don't you? And the next thing is, I want to play well in that game, yeah. And so on and so forth.
Yeah, absolutely. And probably the worst thing was it had 2 days of rain before, so I was eager, I was keen as anything to kind of get going. And obviously, that 2 days of rain were kind of slowed it down. But I was more experienced. I was ready for that. As you said, I came off some good performances for Durham, so I was probably ready for a little bit of a rest. And those 2 days were quite good. And it was just good for me just to get that England shirt back on. And I remember running up the hill. At Edgbaston and getting a nick and actually it was Ian Bell dropped the catch and it was, I was thinking, because people always said, oh, you want to play one more game, so don't be too harsh on yourself. But of course I was like cursing, and I was so disappointed that obviously Ian, he doesn't drop it on purpose, but dropped the catch. But obviously my first wicket back was Barath LBW, and I think it was one of the first series that came back for with the referral system. So I changed ends, came down the slope, and it hit him on the pad. Quite a good dismissal for me. He got trapped him on the crease, and he referred it. And I was thinking, first of all, I was thinking, don't be a no ball. The next one was, I wasn't sure if it had either gone over the top or down leg, so I was thinking maybe he hasn't got a great deal for it. But the umpire had gave it out, and it was clipping the top of leg stump, and it was relief. It really was relief, because all the hard work that I'd put in and I'd got to where I wanted to be, and to get that wicket was amazing.
I mean, was that point, I say we've talked before about your first class comeback and what have you, but was that the point where you felt, well, that was the reward for all that hard work in the gym?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, obviously when I put my shirt on for Durham and playing and getting wickets then, of course during those times I said the same thing then, you know, but in the back of my mind, you've got to believe that you are good enough to play international cricket. And of course I'd been there, I had it taken away from me, and for me I was like, well, I know I'm good enough. And I don't mean that in necessarily a big way. I know that I've put all the hard work in, I've trained, I deserve to be on that side. And that's what I was telling myself throughout my training, throughout the hard yards, and I got there. And for me, it was just huge relief. And I remember doing the press conference afterwards, quite a big one actually. There's probably 50 odd people there, and you know, they're asking me questions, and I was thinking, this is very much what it's all about. It's great. This is where I belong.
Yeah, and you speak to any cricket fan and tell them Graham Onion's played 9 Tests for England, and they'll all say, you should have played much more than that. But I guess when you kind of look at it in perspective, you know, for someone like me, to have played once for England is amazing. And I guess you've got to remember what, you know, how great it has been to do that.
Yeah, and maybe towards the end of my career, I will think like that. But like for me now, and I suppose at this moment in my career, I will never give up to play for England. I'll always think, well, I'm actually. You go through tough times, but also you have one good performance, you think, well, actually, no, I've still got that. I've got that, you know, fire in my belly, and I've still got that ability to bowl, you know, decent pace, and I can move the ball around still. And yeah, I've had some tough times, but you've got to have that belief to keep on going. And it might never happen, as I've said, it might never happen again, but it gives you that little bit of edge, that little bit of, as I said, fire in your belly to try and put in match winning performances for Durham, and that's the bottom line for me. And obviously, this game, the hard work that I put in, really, I suppose this was what I felt as well I deserved.
And I suppose it's important for county cricket that every English player playing in it has that ambition, whether they achieve it or not.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely, and I mean the last thing I'm trying to say is that I've had the hardest career in the world, and because people go through worse injuries than me, and sometimes people have injuries and are very unlucky that they never get a chance to play again. I mean, I've had 2 surgeries now and on my back and one on my knee, and I've been very lucky that I've I've still had the opportunity to come back and to do what I love doing. And yeah, you might lose pace and you might lose a little bit of your I suppose pace that I've always had throughout my career. But ultimately, you've just got to be happy with what you've achieved and what you've done. And there's a lot of people that would love to be in my shoes. And I've just got to, you know, you've got to keep on going. You know, I always say you just got to keep on. County cricket's a hard, like it's hard work with all the forms of cricket that you play and all the games. But you just got to keep on believing in what you're doing and keep on pushing, really. And you push yourself to the end, and eventually, you know, you probably will have to hang your boots up. Hopefully not with injury. Hopefully with me saying, oh well, I'm going to walk away off my own back.
Yeah, and I guess this third test of 2012 was just a reminder for everybody that if you've got the talent and you put the hard work in, it will eventually be rewarded.
Yeah, absolutely. I believe that the game doesn't owe you anything. So if you don't put the hard work in, you don't train hard, then you're not going to get your maximum potential shown, really. And that, as I said, you know, I was very lucky that I came back from the injury, but also I had the mental game in place that I'd played international cricket before. You know, I'd done reasonably well. I'm quite proud of my record. Of course, you always want to do better, as I am. I would always like to do more and do better. But coming back for this game was very much a game where I thought, well, I deserve to be in this, and I'm going to enjoy it.
Yeah, it's worth just pointing out to people what your record was. Say, hopefully, still to be added to, but 9 tests and 32 wickets at an average of 29.9. I mean, that's something you can be very proud of.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that 9 test match, as I always say, it could have been more. It could have been 10. It could have been 11. It could have been, you know, it could have been 50. But you know, that's. I'd have to live with that, of course, but I know that I've had times out of the game, like long periods of time out of the game, and that's the reason why I chose this game, really, because long periods out of that game, it could have been quite easy to think, well, you know, I'm just gonna fall away, and I'm gonna just go back to county cricket and earn a decent living and just see where I go. But international cricket is where it's the pinnacle. It's where you want to be. It's where I felt as though I deserved to be. Of course, I did only play that one more test, and I'm pleased with that. You know, not many people can say that they played for their country, but you know, I've done that, and I've done it 9 times, and I suppose I've wore that cap with pride.
Thanks very much, Greg. You were listening to the Bunnies First 11 podcast, and as you'll have gathered by now, this is Graham Runyon's benefit year, where he's raising money for a number of charities. You can find out more about the various events taking place at www.grahamrunyonsbenefityear.co.uk. Thanks and goodbye.